I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel call. Tonight, Brother Elliot Moore is the minister of Moore Avenue Church of Christ in Bay City, Texas. His topic is turned on but not connected. It comes from Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Turn on but not connected. At this time, we pray that you would open your ears and allow him to speak to us from the Word of God. Brother Moore.
Hello. My name is Brother Elliot Moore, the minister of the Moore Avenue Church of Christ here in Bay City, Texas. Let me begin this gospel call tonight by saying good evening to everyone. I am thankful and I am grateful for those who have given me this opportunity tonight to preach a message from the Word of God about the salvation which is in Jesus Christ and His one church. And if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, be it known that we do love you. And our plea is to encourage you to ask questions. Open your Bibles and study with us upon tonight so you'll know what says the scriptures about salvation. We want you to become a member of the Church of Christ, which Jesus our Lord purchased with his own blood, according to Acts 20 and 28. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached, believed, and obeyed in order for anyone to be saved. Bible tells in Mark 16:15-16, Jesus commanded them and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Paul goes on and says, for the grace of God, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. To go further to say in 1 Timothy 2:3-6, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So for tonight, our message is entitled, Turned On But Not Connected. Now, I want to encourage you to open your Bible and follow along with what says the scriptures tonight, that you may know what the Bible says and all that you can be saved. Again, I plead with you tonight that you would answer the call of salvation before it's too late. So when I'm saying about turn on and not connected, open your Bible to Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what the Bible says. I chose this topic because there are many people in our world today who are turned on for God, but not have done what God required to come in right relationship. So that's what I mean by being turned on and not connected. You are not in relationship with God as God would have you be because you have not obeyed what God has commanded. No one can be saved. No one can be in relationship with God without being in his son. You must be in Christ in order to have a relationship with God. So I'm going to show tonight that what a person must do in order to come in right relationship with God according to the scriptures. Now in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, here's what our Bible says. There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now notice what he exhibits. Verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Here this man, who is no doubt exemplified a lot of people in the world today, he goes on and says, in verse 3, he saw a vision, evident about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, and saying unto him by name, Cornelius. Now here is a man that I see, and you perhaps see, he is turned on for God, but he is not connected to God. Now, the scripture identifies him Now, as a devout man, that means he is very fervent, he's very sincere, perhaps a religious man, just like many of us in our world today. This may be you or someone you know. But the fact of the matter, being devout alone will not save you. Not only was he a devout man, but he was a man that feared God with all his house, a man that gave much alms, very generous man, didn't mind helping people. This might fit your character. And not only that, but he was a man that prayed to God always. He not only prayed to God, but he fasted and prayed. Now, if you're honest tonight, this may be you or somebody you know. There are folks all over the world who believe that they are serving God by these exhibits of behavior. Well, we're going to see tonight what this man is being told he must do in order to come in right relationship with God. Now, listen to what he says. This man is a praying man, a God-fearing man, a man that does not mind helping people as many of us claim that we do all the time. But yet, this man, in spite of all of his exhibits, he's still not saved. And so there are a lot of people in our world today who exhibit such forms of godliness, even having zeal for God, but yet they're not saved by their own right or their own merits. Be it known that there is none of us in our own righteousness can merit salvation. Salvation is obtained through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, now, it is said now by this man Cornelius, just as so many people today, they have people talk good about all the good things that they do. Well, that might be fine and dandy. Just because someone praises you for the good works that you do, that does not mean that you're saved. I know a lot of people, you know, feel good about that. When you talk to them about what they do to be saved, they start talking about, well, I do good works, I don't do this, I don't do that. But it's not your righteousness that saves you. It's not my righteousness that saves me. Listen to what the Bible says here. All right? If you will, notice Paul talks about in Romans chapter number 10. There are a lot of folks who have the perception that they, because they are zealous in their belief for God, then that somehow should merit them to be saved. Here's what Paul says in Romans 10, verses 2 and 3. Be it known that having zeal of God does not make you righteous with God. Paul says here in Romans 10, verses 2 and 3, in regard to those Jews, Paul said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Just because you have a zeal of God does not make you saved or right with God. Too many times people have established their own righteousness as a means to merit their salvation with God. No, ma'am, and no, sir. That will not work. I submit to you tonight that God has made it possible for all of us to know what he has commanded, for all of us can be saved. All right? Now, furthermore, listen to the Bible in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Listen, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How so? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, church, I'd like to thank God for grace and mercy. Now, as we go further on the study tonight, I want to assure you that what you and I must do in order to become connected with God is that we must obey the gospel. Now, listen to what's happening here. When we look at Cornelius in Acts 10, we just read verses 1 and 3, identifying the exhibits of this man. All right? But he is not saved. And you might say, well, he looks like he's saved to me. Well, let me establish the fact that he's not saved. If you will, I would like you to turn your Bible over to Acts chapter 11. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 11, and let's see if this man is saved. All right? Now, prior to Peter coming to him, Cornelius is told by the angel of God to send men to Joppa and to tell him what he ordered to do. Now, when Peter comes back in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 2, then verse 14, you'll see Peter is going to come back and rehearse what he had been confronted by his Jewish brothers about his interacting with Cornelius and his family. Now watch this. In Acts 11, verse 2, the Bible says, and when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of certain, they contended with him. And then verse 4 says, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and he expounded it by order unto them. And what's he going to do? Drop down to verse 13, and you're going to see in verse 13 and 14 that the man Cornelius, he is not saved, although he exhibits some godly traits, some godly behavior, but he's not saved. Listen to the book. And he showed us, talking about Cornelius, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. What's he calling them for? Notice, Peter says he's being called, verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. You see there? He's not saved. He is calling to get the word that he needs to hear and obey in order to be saved. You see, although there are many people who have displayed exhibits of godliness, until one hears and obeys the gospel or what God commands, that person is not saved. Again, this may be you or someone you know that exhibits these characters, but that does not equate being saved. As a matter of fact, if we would look at Matthew chapter number 7, Matthew chapter number 7, in verse number 21 and 23, here is Jesus, our Lord. Jesus says in verse 21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works? Again, this may be you or somebody you know. Well, whichever the case may be, listen to the response that Jesus gave them. And then what I professed unto them, I never knew you. He didn't mistake them for, well, I thought you were someone else. He emphatically says, I never knew you. Why did he not know him? Because they have not come in relationship with him according to the gospel. And then he tells them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here again, church, I'm submitting tonight that there are a lot of folks that are turned on for God, but they are not connected. But I submit to you tonight on how you can become connected. That is how you become saved according to the scriptures. Amen. Now, let's see what Cornelius is going to do. Go back to Acts 10, and let's drop down, if you like, to verses number 4 through 6. All right? Let's drop down to verses 4 through 6. Now, here is Cornelius. The Bible says there, and when he looked upon him, he was afraid. And he said, what is the Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. Send men to Joppa and call the one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he tells them where to find him at. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Listen to this. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Well, he's already praying. He's already fearing God. He's already giving alms, a very generous, charitable man. He is a devout man, but not only that, he is fasting and praying. But yet, he's not saved. What am I saying? I'm saying that there are so many people who fit this exhibit in their life, and they're believing they're saved, but they really are not saved. But they're going to have to hear, just as Cornelius was told, what he must do in order to be saved. Now, let's see what was Cornelius told to do. All right? Now, if you would, turn your Bible over to Acts chapter 10 and go, let's drop down, if you may, down to about verse number 24. All right? Let's drop down to verse 24. And the Bible said, now, when Peter and those who had come with them, while they were on their way in the process of coming, Cornelius had already decided that I'm going to ensure that what I need to hear, so do my friends and my kinsmen. So in Acts 24, the Bible says, and tomorrow, after entering into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and their friends. That's what we're trying to do. We ought to call all of our friends and all of our kinfolk to come here what God has commanded in order that all men can be saved. Now, here they are, all gathered together. And when they are gathered together, we'll drop down to verse 29, down to verse 33. And we'll see here that when they have come together, Cornelius is going to rehearse the event to Peter and tell him about what the angel told him. Okay? So in verse 30, the Bible says, and Cornelius said to Peter, 4 days ago, listen to what he's doing. I was fasting until this hour. And I know there are some of you out there fasting today. Some of you fasting and praying, just as Cornelius was. But that don't make you saved. He said, I was fasting at the night, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And then it says, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he tells him again where to find it. This is Cornelius telling Peter what had transpired. So he sent and called him. And I note verse 33. It said, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, if he was saved already, why would he have sent for Peter? Well, he knew that God had instructed him that he needed to hear the message of the gospel. Why the gospel? Because the gospel is God's power to save. It saved men back then, and it will still save us today. Should we preach it, believe it, and obey it? This is what it says. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? What is there? Listen, to hear all things that are commanded of thee of God. That's what we have to hear. What did God say? What did God command in order to come in relationship with him? Okay? So now, Peter is there now. He's going to tell Cornelius and Simon what to do to be saved. And I encourage you tonight that we want you to be saved as well. We want you to know that God loves you and we love you, and we want you to know that salvation is only in Christ. But you have to obey what Cornelius was told to do. Now, watch what happens, church. Now, Peter tells Cornelius in verse 35, he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God wants everybody to be saved. He has no respect of anyone that fears him and desires to work righteousness. But it's not our righteousness that saves us. It's the righteousness of Christ that saves us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 concerning that our Lord was made. He said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you want to be made right with God, you're going to have to be in Christ. How is that going to happen, Moore? Well, I'm glad you asked. He had to hear the word that God says. If you look at verse 36. Look at verse 36 in the same chapter. The Bible says, in the conversation with Cornelius and Peter, he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. It is the word which God sent by his Son. That's the word that we have to hear. That's the word that we must obey, what God said. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to do what God says. So when Peter comes and he gives them the word of God, not any word, but the word that God gave. Get down to verse number 37. He said that word. Well, what word are we talking about? He's talking about the gospel. The gospel, that's the word that everybody must hear and believe and obey in order to be saved. Now, watch what Peter does, all right? Note in verse 38, he takes them to the cross of Jesus. He's telling them about what Jesus done for us out on the cross of Calvary. He says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with them. So what's he doing? He is preaching unto Cornelius and his household the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that man can be saved when he obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Moore? I'm saying that before you can become connected to God, you're going to have to obey the gospel, because God's power to save is in the gospel. Peter, he goes and tells them about what God did. This is what he says here, all right? When Jesus was going to be arrested, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus gave his life on ransom yonder on Calvary for my sins and your sins, that all men can be saved. Peter goes on and says in verse 39, and we are witnesses. This is what it says. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And then it says, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. What's he telling them? He's telling them that Jesus went to the cross for our sins. How Jesus was scourged, he was slapped, he was smoked, he was spit upon. Jesus went through all of that tribulation just for you and I, to bear our sins. Although we wasn't worthy of it, he loved us enough to lay his life down for us all. And Peter is giving this message to those at the house of Cornelius about what Jesus had to go through. They nailed him to the cross. And after lifting him up, a soldier pierced him in the side, and forthwith came out blood and water. What's he doing? He is telling him how he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel that must be believed that Peter is referring to. So if you want to get connected to God, you're going to have to hear the gospel which you've just heard. You're going to have to believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. He died for our sins. Notice in verse number 40, he said, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. All this was done for you and I. And all of us came and saved. And note verse 42. He said, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And I come to tell tonight that those who are turned on for God, if you do not obey the gospel, you are still not connected. And so now what he finally tells them after hearing the gospel of what they must about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, note down in about verse number 47. In verse 47, the Bible says, there, Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And then verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Why so? Because they were still in their sins and they have not yet been saved. And until you get baptized, you are still in your sins. Baptism, yes, saves us. It's the washing away of our sins. That's where you contact the blood of Jesus when you're baptized. So tonight, you may be turned on, but you're still not connected until you obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to hear the gospel. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all of your heart. You must repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will perish. But that's not enough. You also got to confess Christ. Or you need to confess Christ tonight. Matthew 10 and 32 and 33. Jesus our Lord said, whosoever shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Well, what about you tonight? Were you willing to take that step and confess Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior? Not only that, but then it says, if you deny him, he will also deny you before the Father which is in heaven. But then that's you're still not saved yet. You must get baptized. Yes, you must be baptized. Because that's how you get into Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, and concluding on how to be saved, he says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, he says, know you not. Turn here. We're going to wrap it up here. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, amen. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into his death. You got to die like Christ. You're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Your new life is a start that you're baptized into Christ. That's when new life starts. That's when you're connected with God, and God answer your prayer. I'll now turn it back over to the host. God bless you, and may God keep you.